Friends, we continue our reading this evening in Luke chapter 2, verses 15 through 20, by now seeing the response of the shepherds. Would you follow along with me? When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. Friends, let's continue in our worship this evening by singing together hymn 317, "What Child Is This?" You can remain seated as we sing this hymn together. Friends, I invite you to take your copy of God's Word. If you don't have one, there should be a pew Bible there in front of you. And turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, where we'll read just a few verses and consider them this evening. As you do so, just put you somewhere on the map here. In our series thus far in this Advent season, we've been considering the incarnation, the fact that God became man. And we've been considering this particularly from Paul's perspective in the New Testament. And today, I submit to you this evening that Paul gives one of his strongest statements of the deity of Jesus Christ. And so I'd ask, friends, if you would open your ears and hear now the living and active Word of God from Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. "For in him, that is Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority." Friends, would you pray with me? Our great and gracious God, I pray that you would now make your dwelling amongst us, that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, not just anything nor just anyone. But tonight, just for these brief moments, as we consider your word, We pray that we would hear and see Jesus Christ. We pray that you would do this for his sake and for our good. We ask it in his name. Amen. Friends, how was your day today? I wonder. Some of you may have been at home relaxing. Others of you may have been out and about, not relaxing, but frantically searching for gifts. I hope that wasn't your day today. I hope that wasn't what you did all afternoon around stores around Asheville. But I know that all of us this Christmas season have been searching. We've been searching and looking for that gift over the last several weeks. And so I'm excited to tell you, friends, the search is over. Tomorrow's the day. The gifts are there. You may have to do a little more prep. That's okay. But tomorrow it will be over, and you'll be able to relax and sit back and enjoy the sights and the sounds of gifts being opened. Some of you may not care about others opening gifts. Maybe you're just thinking about what you're going to get this Christmas. That's okay. The gifts have your name on them after all. Someone else is giving them to you to have. But we all know the problem. The problem is the next day, the day after Christmas. We'll have all of our gifts. We'll have some leftovers in the fridge. We may even have a little leftover joy in our hearts from Christmas Day. But we know that another search will begin, won't it? Another search in our lives for something else, to give us meaning, to give us purpose, to give us a drive to do something with our time. It might end up being just more New Year's resolutions, which take us into spring, and then in spring, it'll be spring cleaning, searching for things to throw away. Friends, the search never ends, really, does it? It's an endless cycle of trying to find things to give us fulfillment and satisfaction. So I just want to consider from Paul's words in Colossians 2 tonight the fact that you don't need to search any longer. You don't need to look for fulfillment or contentment. You don't need to look for satisfaction anywhere else than in Jesus Christ. This is the only possible way to know full contentment and to know full, true satisfaction, is to know Jesus Christ. And let me tell you two reasons why from Paul's words here in Colossians 2. The first reason is because in Jesus, the fullness of deity dwells bodily. Now, some of you, remember I can see you, some of you are scratching your heads right now. What on earth does that mean? What does it mean that the fullness of deity dwells in him bodily? How's that possible? So let's just break it down into two things. We'll start with what we know. What we know is that Paul tells us something that the Gospels have told us already in Luke chapter 2, that Jesus Christ is a human man. He is one who knows what it means to be a person. He has a real body and a real soul. You and Jesus share a common experience. You live in bodies. You walk around, you breathe, and you live. The other night, I was trying to communicate to my sweet little girl, Charlotte, who's 2.5 years old, why we celebrate Christmas. And I was explaining to her that God decided that he loved us so much that he became like us. And when he did, he took on 10 fingers and 10 toes, 2 hands. 2 ears, a mouth, and eyes. Friends, Jesus knows what it means to be a human, not because he is a God who is omniscient, who knows everything, but because he is a human himself, born of the Virgin Mary. And what that means is that Jesus exists in time and in space, even right now. That Jesus Christ is alive somewhere in God's created order. He is there, and we know where it is. We confess, as we've confessed for 2,000 years, that he is at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And so, the first part that we consider is that he's a human man. He's fully like us in every way. But the second part is the more difficult to understand. The fullness of deity dwelling in him. What exactly does that mean? And as we consider that, we might have more questions than answers. And that's okay. That's totally fine. Because it's impossible to explain how the infinite God could dwell in a finite space. It's impossible to wrap our human minds around the possibility of a limitless being having the limits of a body, having the limits of human experience. We understand what it means to be human. But friends, which one of us knows what it means to be God? Which of us knows what it means to be deity? The answer is no one. And because we don't know that experience, we cannot explain how it is that Paul tells us that Jesus Christ is both fully man and fully God. We can ask why. We can ask for philosophical explanations. We can ask for arguments and reasons. But let me give you a better question tonight. Rather than asking how, ask why. Ask why the fullness of deity dwells in him bodily. And the answer comes, once again, from Paul. So that you can know God. So that you can fully experience and have relationship with him. Just as we know what it means to be human, and we know how to relate to other humans, God came to be like us so that we could relate to him through Jesus Christ. Not just know of him, not just know things about him, but to have a personal and intimate relationship with the God of the universe. Let me ask you that tonight. Do you want to know God? Do you want to know the being, the loving, gracious, all-powerful being who made you, who knows you, who sees into the depths of your soul? Do you want to have a good relationship with him? Friends, if you do, and I hope you do, you can only know him and have that relationship with him through Jesus Christ. It's sort of like tomorrow morning, opening up your bedroom door and running out to try and find your gifts and looking for them in the kitchen or the bathroom or the garage. That's not where the gifts are, right? The gifts are under the tree. Why look for God anywhere else than where he is? He's told us. He's revealed to us where we can find him. And where we find him is in Jesus Christ. And we don't find a part of God. We don't find a little bit of divinity. We find the fullness of deity. All of who God is may be known through Jesus Christ. Every aspect, every remarkable attribute, everything that the Bible tells us about our Maker can be known by knowing Jesus Christ. But why come as a man? Why come in a bodily way? Why not just do it in a miracle? Why not just speak down from on high? Why not just exercise some type of divine power? And once again, I think Paul answers that question as well. You see, all throughout the Old Testament in particular, God revealed himself in that shadowy way. He revealed parts of himself to his people in these divine, powerful, and miraculous ways. And friends, they were wonderful. They were magnificent. They were acts of grace and divine mercy in revealing who he was to his people. And yet, what did they do? What did those works accomplish? The terror of his people. If you read from Exodus chapter 20, the Ten Commandments, you'll read that God spoke the Ten Commandments verbally from his throne. And when the people of Israel heard all Ten Commandments, what was their response? They grabbed Moses and they shoved him up the mountain. We can't do that. We need somebody. We need someone to stand between us and God. And someone greater than Moses has come. Someone greater than anyone we could ever possibly have hoped for has come. It is God himself in flesh. Why did God need to come in a body? So that he could fully and completely save you and me. And that's the second reason I think that we ought to look nowhere else than to Jesus Christ. And that's because in him you may be filled completely. It is only in Jesus that we can have any benefit from God. It is only in Jesus that we can have real and true and lasting joy. Right? We might have high hopes for tomorrow. I know I do. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm like 98% sure I know what my wife is getting me as one gift, okay? And I'm really excited for like 10:30 tomorrow morning, okay? I'm sure many of you are as well. And I'm excited to see my daughter's faces as they open their gifts. I'm excited to feel, for one of the first times as a young parent, that joy. I'm excited for my family to be filled and in that way fill me. But friends, let me add to that joy that I know you're looking forward to tomorrow. Jesus blows the roof off of any experience tomorrow brings. The fullness that Jesus provides takes the joy that we look forward to in this life and he magnifies it. He causes it to explode. Because the fullness of deity dwells in him bodily, he then fills us with his love, with his mercy, with his grace. It is only because in Jesus, the fullness of deity dwells bodily that Jesus can call himself the living water. And if Jesus is the living water, you never have to thirst again because you have him, a water that fully satisfies. Jesus calls himself the bread of life and says that if you have him, you will never hunger again. What kind of person can promise these gifts but a God who can back them up with power, with might, but ultimately with love? Right? Our experience of fullness, of joy, of excitement, they're just appetizers to a great feast that's coming one day when Jesus returns. It's a drop of water in the ocean. It's a foretaste of eternal life with a God who loves you and will bless you and heal you and gather you in and will never allow anything to touch you or hurt you ever again. But friends, even today, you can share in that fullness. Right now, you can be full in Jesus Christ. You can have the weight of your sin fully lifted from your shoulders. You can find rest for your soul. Right? Everything in this life wants more from you. Everything in this life is trying to take from you. Only Jesus is there to fill you and to fill you beyond the brim. All you must do is do the words of that marvelous hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Hail the incarnate deity. Worship Jesus. Submit your life to him. Look to him and to no one else and find the fullness of God, even the God who died and rose again from the dead for your sins, that he could live with you forever and you with him. Look to Jesus, and he will fill you with infinite and eternal blessing. And he will stop your search today if you but look to Jesus. Let's pray to him that he would grant us help to do just that. Almighty God, we pray that great truth. We know Christ has come. Christ has come to be with his people, to die for his people, to rise again for his people. And indeed, he is coming again. Would all of us in this room give ourselves over to him? Give us new hearts. Give us clean hands through Jesus Christ, that we would know the joy that he promises to us. Fill us beyond our limits, but fill us only with Christ. We pray it in his name. Amen.